Hey, it's NPR's Book of the Day. I'm Andrew Limbong. If you spent enough time with an ex before breaking up, it's reasonable to assume they know a lot about you. Like, a lot. Now, that could either be good or bad, but that knowing is key to the relationship at the center of today's book. It's titled O William, and it's from author Elizabeth Strout, who is returning to a familiar character of hers, Lucy Barton, whose ex-husband needs help decades after their breakup. And in this interview with Here and Now's Robin Young, they talk about that very specific feeling of tenderness from a long-ago ex mixed with some irritation, too. Here's the interview.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. On The Sympathizer podcast, host Philip Nguyen joins the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen to discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Elizabeth Strout is back. Yay. She is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Olive Kitteridge and the sequel Olive Again, about a somewhat prickly retired schoolteacher from Maine. Readers swooned. Well, Strout is now revisiting another character, Lucy Barton, from the novels My Name is Lucy Barton and Anything is Possible, a woman trying to leave her impoverished, traumatic beginnings in Illinois behind, but wearing them like a ball and chain. The new book is O William, an exasperated phrase Lucy uses in response to her ex-husband, William. Lucy's now a successful writer living in New York, though her bleak childhood lurks. Her second husband has died, and that first one, William, needs her help, so she agrees to go on a road trip with him to Maine to help him uncover the truth about his mother, Catherine, and the sister he didn't know he had. O William is out today, and Elizabeth Strout is here for a look at what happens when a character takes up residence in an author's head and refuses to go away. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here. Thanks.
Well, this is intriguing. It's not uncommon to return to characters, but why were you so compelled to revisit Lucy?
You know, I didn't really think that I would revisit Lucy at that point, but Laura Linney, who starred in a one-woman show of My Name is Lucy Barton in London and also in New York, I was at a rehearsal with her, and she took a step forward, and she murmured something about William, and then she put her glasses up on top of her head, and at that moment, I thought, oh, William. So that's when I realized he was going to have his own story, which, of course, he would, as we all do. And then I got down to writing it. But it was really that moment when I thought, oh, William. And it's so interesting that that stayed the title all along.
Had you not fleshed out William? Because you knew William was the first husband. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
But in My Name is Lucy Barton, she consciously sidesteps him. She says to the reader, I'm not going to talk about my marriage. And then I realized, okay, well, now you're going to, except let's have him be a part of this.
Yeah.
And so it was fun to actually get to see William, and I understood him. As soon as I could visualize him, I thought, okay, I've got him.
And what would that be?
Well, I just thought, okay, that big shaggy mustache and, you know, a full head of white hair, and yet very well-dressed and tall. And then I just thought, oh, there he is. I get it. Okay, we can do this now.
It's interesting you remind us that Lucy Barton said, well, I'm not going to talk about that now. She says that a lot. She offers herself up to narrate a book and then, you know, raises the home life that she had. But I'm not going to talk about that. Which
right.
immediately lets you know there's a story there.
Right. It was funny to realize that about William as well. Yeah. And I think in My Name is Lucy Barton, that we knew certain things about William. We knew that he had a father who had come over from Germany as a prisoner of war to work in the potato fields in Houlton, Maine, which in fact German prisoners of war did. And I had read that in a newspaper article years and years ago, and I had never forgotten that. So we knew that much about him and that his mother had been married to the potato farmer, but that's sort of all we knew. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, wow, there's going to be so much there that we can figure out.
No kidding. By the way, this is like, you know, places like Aroostook, Maine, they're still potato farming. And what we find out is, and, you know, this is out there in reviews, is that William's father, who again was the, you know, German Nazi POW,
right,
who was brought to the U.S., and this woman, William's mother, leaves her potato farmer husband to run away, the dish with the spoon, she runs away with the German POW. Mm-hmm. But we now find William at 71 just discovering that she left behind a daughter. He has a sister. How'd you come to that?
Well, you know, I realized that because in real life, the prisoners had to go back to either England or France and do reparations after the war. They had to go directly back to Europe and do reparations. And I realized, okay, that would be about a year would pass before William's father was able to return to the United States. And that's when I realized, okay, so in that year, she's going to have this child. And yet she is going to walk out on that baby, which is chilling.
Yeah. Had you seen any stories? And by the way, this is, we're back in Olive Kitteridge land because we're back in Maine and there was a certain brittleness to her.
Right.
And now we have this mother-in-law who, you know, when Lucy first meets her, this dazzling woman, you know, brings her into another world, takes her on vacations, tries to get her to play golf. And
I know.
And we see Lucy feeling like, oh, I don't belong here. She's calling people to say, what should I do when you go on vacation? She doesn't know.
I know.
But now Lucy has to grapple with, wait a minute, I wasn't the only one kind of faking my way there.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And that's when my husband and I took that exact trip. It's about 2 hours up from where we live in Maine. It was even further, actually. And we drove those exact roads, you know, from Houlton to Presque Isle and Fort Fairfield. And it was really, really interesting to try and be inside Lucy's head as I saw everything going by. And that's when I began to realize, oh, wait a minute, because mm-hmm. Catherine is going to have come from something that's arguably even worse than Lucy's background. And in My Name is Lucy Barton, I said that her mother-in-law would say, this is Lucy, she comes from nothing. And then I realized, bingo, that is why she would say it.
Right, because she did too.
Yeah, and it was just sitting there waiting for me to discover that.
Yeah, and left behind a child. And
she's, oh, I know.
Yeah, and she's passed at this point, so.
Yes, she's been gone for a while. Yes,
no,
many
nobody,
years.
Yeah, nobody. So what more are you saying here? A couple things. As I was reading, I was thinking, wow, thank goodness no one can see my interior life. Thank goodness I'm not Elizabeth Strout's character because, again, you've got Lucy Barton, successful author, you know, gets flown places for book things. And mm-hmm. and yet how she views herself, as we hear in her interior life, is completely different.
Right. And it's so sad because her background was so deprived. You know, there was nobody in her background that reflected back to her anything that was positive. And that's why I think that she says, you know, if there was a corkboard with a pin placed in it for everybody's lives, there'd be no pin for me. Mm. Because she did not have anybody reflecting back to her who she was as a child. And I think that probably doesn't go away.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth Strout, we have to ask. She is a successful author. You know, you're driving the same roads in Maine. Is some of this reflective of you?
No, my background was not Lucy's background at all. But she's somebody who came to me, and I find her intriguing, and I find the whole class thing intriguing. You know, what does it feel like for her mother-in-law to have crossed those lines seemingly more easily than Lucy? Mm-hmm. And then what does it feel like for Lucy to cross those lines?
Well, but what are we saying also about marriage? Because this isn't what a Hollywood script would be. The Hollywood script would be, since Lucy's second husband has just died and her first dashing husband, he of the mustache, has asked her to go on this trip to Maine, they would reach towards each other and through the pain of discovering the truth about his mother, get back together again. Well, that doesn't happen at all. I mean,
right.
What are you saying about marriage?
Well, I think that I was intrigued with these people who had known each other really from a very young age. I mean, Lucy was really quite young and he was 7 years older, but they've known each other a long, long time. And that to me was very interesting to understand that they had once been married, they had once been intimate, they had remained pretty much on friendly terms, and now they were thrown together in this. And so the tenderness that they obviously feel for each other is sitting sideways to the irritation that they continue to feel with each other. Mm. And yet they're both grown-ups now, and they're trying to do their best with it. And I was very interested in that, you know, what it would mean to be with somebody for so long in so many different permutations.
Sometimes you're the only person, you know, that can make that trip with them, because you're the only one who knows.
Right, exactly.
Who that mother-in-law was. Or
that's exactly right.
Right. Elizabeth Strout's new novel, Oh, William. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. It was lovely. Thank you so much.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.